Good afternoon. This is the Design Commission, and I'd like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff who are here. Hello, Mark Walhood and Tim Herron. The members of the commission who are here today are myself, Gwen Milius, the chair, who has a really hot mic, which is good. Everyone can hear me, I hope. David Work, the vice chair of the commission, Tad Savinar, and Jeff Simpson. Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of new construction or remodeling of projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Type 3. For Type 3 reviews, the following procedure is required. 1. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm reading type 3 already. Apologize. I'm going to go back to the type 2 appeal. So our hearing today, we have a type 2 appeal and a type 3. So this is the procedure for type 2 appeals. An administrative decision has already been rendered on this case. This decision has now been appealed to the commission. For type 2 reviews, the following procedure is required. 1. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. 2. Prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request to have the hearing continued or to hold the record open in order to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will grant it and may either continue the hearing or hold the record open to allow additional evidence or testimony to be submitted. Following the continued hearing or the initial open record period, the commission will allow an additional period of time for participants to respond to evidence submitted at the continued hearing or during the initial open record period. The applicant will have a final time period in which to submit final written arguments, but not evidence. 3. The decision of the commission is final, although it can be challenged by filing a notice of intent to appeal with LUBA within 21 days of the final decision. LUBA's address will be shown on the copy of the commission's decision, which will be mailed within 17 days. 4. If any person fails to raise an issue in person during the hearing or by letter, or fails to address an issue or provide evidence on that issue with enough specificity to allow the commission to respond to it, that issue may not be the basis for an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals. 5. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under Oregon Revised Statute 197.796. If the commission's decision is not appealed to LUBA, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the commission's action. And this is the hearing procedure for a Type 2 on appeal. 1. Staff will show slides of the site and surrounding area. 2. Staff will present a summary. The staff summary will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on the request. The planner's presentation is 10 minutes long. The appellant will have 10 minutes to present their case. The supporters of the appellant will have 3 minutes to testify. The principal opponent of the appeal will have 15 minutes to present their case. Other opponents of the appeal will have 3 minutes to testify, and then there'll be the appellant rebuttal of 5 minutes in length, the close of public testimony, and then the commission's comments and deliberation. Prior to the close of public testimony, if any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. After the record is closed to all the parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. After the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, that motion will fail. If no motion to approve an appeal is passed, that appeal is denied. If the commission's decision overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff's administrative action, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. This hearing is part of the official record. Please talk specifically about this case, referring to the criteria contained in the staff report. Please be complete without repeating yourself if possible and speak specifically about this property and how the criteria relates to this request. Please submit a copy of any factual information, including testimonies, photos, drawings, or other evidence that can help us in making our decision. These will be maintained as part of the record. So the case being reviewed today is LU14-134289DZ, the Janey Chu Stair Enclosure, which is being appealed. The address is 315-317 Northwest 11th Avenue. The original applicant was Marcus Lima of GBD Architects, I believe. There's a typo here. And the appellant is Patricia Gardner of Pearl District Neighborhood Association. And Mark Walhut is our planner. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon, Chair. Thank you very much. I do not have slides or a PowerPoint today of making this really brief. I know Marcus has brought good imagery. You may recall the Janey 2 quarter block apartment building. It's a EXD zone. This was a type 2 follow-up review precipitated by sort of late notice that their rooftop terrace required a second stairway for egress. So they had to pop up a new stair through the roof. It was a straightforward review from staff perspective. It's an L-shaped rooftop element with a squared-off rooftop form. Pearl Neighborhood wanted to have an angled roof form. I got this wrong in the neighborhood comment letter, too. I said it backwards. Pearl wants a squared-off top. We approved an angled top. That's the issue before you today. Let's see. There's no height FAR or development standard issues. It's the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines with the River District Design Guidelines. And that's all I'm going to say. I think Marcus has the imagery for you. Any questions?
All right. Go ahead.
I do have a comment.
I have one comment.
I think we asked a question about this when it came through. Mm. Are you sure you only need one stair?
Yeah, we did ask about that. I do remember.
Just to put
it
in perspective.
Yeah. Okay. So it's actually the appellant's turn to go. So we'll have them up. Go ahead.
Patricia Gardner.
If the button's up, it's on.
Okay. Patricia Gardner, Pearl District Neighborhood Association, 1116 Northwest Johnson is my address. But so fundamentally, looking at the design guidelines, it's really simple. Everything in the design guidelines has to do with coherency, integrity, integration, et cetera, et cetera. And if you look at the design of the building, everything about the design of the building is it is orthogonal in nature. If there is a concept, it is that it is orthogonal in nature. It's verticals and horizontals, and that's the reality of it. And so, and our letter goes into quite a bit of detail about which design guidelines are not being met by having something that doesn't have anything to do with the structure at all. And all we want, we're fine with the stair, no problem, there's no issues except that we want it squared up so that it meets the design of the building. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we're very cognizant about is that these buildings are seen from multiple vistas. There's a ground plane vista, but there's, my building's three stories. I look at everybody's rooftops. There's buildings that are 15 stories. These buildings have to work from bottom to top because everyone experiences them within the neighborhood. And more importantly, on the skyline of the city, you experience these from bottom to top. And so they need to be coherent from bottom to top. And so that's what we're asking for. I can go into quite a bit of detail about why it's not meeting the design guidelines, it's not meeting. I do think my understanding of why this was here was for the pedestrian zone, for the bottom level. The reality is the building's 120 plus feet tall, just by my estimate. And so chopping off a corner of the building for some desire on the pedestrian level, it's going to reduce it 3 feet. It doesn't get rid of the 120 feet. So it's a little bit illogical from that perspective. But again, I do want to read these into the record about what design guidelines it's not meeting. So it is not meeting the Central City Design Guidelines C5, Design for Coherency. It is not meeting Central City Design Guidelines C3, Respect Architectural Integrity. It is not meeting the Design Guidelines C11, Integrate Roofs and Use Rooftops. It is not meeting River District Design Guidelines A5-1-1, reinforce the identity of the Pearl District neighborhood. It is not meeting the Central City Design Guidelines C4, complement the context of existing buildings. So, and if you look at the pedestrian, all the pedestrian guidelines, none of them say don't, you know, not a single pedestrian design guideline asks for abandoning integrity and composition for the pedestrian. That's not what any of them say. And they're not, they're very concerned with the ground plane and not with the rooftop. So I hope that's clear. And let me know if there's any questions on that.
Any questions of our appellant? Okay, great. Okay, at this point, thank you very much. Are there any supporters of the appellant who would like to testify today? Anyone? Okay. By the way, I do see a large group of people from the public, and if you are interested in testifying, there are yellow forms in the back of the room. You fill them out and give them the page. Please note which case you are here for, although I assume most of you are here for Block 37. Okay, so if there are no supporters to come testify, then I will move on to the principal opponent of the appeal.
Hi, Marcus Lima with GBD Architects, not B.
Yeah.
Right. 1120 Northwest Cooch, Suite 300, Portland, Oregon, 97209. David, to answer your question, we had a previous agreement with the city that it's a long story, but we appealed it previously and we got it, and this time they came back and they said no, even though we had a previous agreement that we could have this. So that's why we left this out. Again, here's the building. You guys have seen the building, and here's the appeal. And very quickly, the location, again, 11th and Everett, Northwest. Here's a plan. The stairs where we're popping up essentially it needs to be where we're showing it because of where the existing stairs are, and you can see here in this section. And essentially what we try to do we thought would be the best solution would be to try to get this as far away from the facade of the building as possible in order to kind of try to, in perhaps erroneously, but to our street level, to try to keep that as far away as possible and not alter the facade. So then we end up with this shape, and we try to be as tight as possible and essentially follow the profile of the stair below. So here's, again, a plan, and you can see this area here. My mouse doesn't show up, but you can see where the stair starts to pop up from the roof. And again, here's a section showing that relationship to the facade. Again, trying to push it as far back as possible. Here's the previous elevation, and this is what we get with the additional pop-up of for the stairs. And again, you know, the idea of angling it was to try to keep it as far away from the facade as possible. We believe that this is not necessarily completely outside of the general idea of the building. Here's another view of the building, and some street views showing that you can't really see that pop up. Patricia is correct. The building is not 120 feet; it's 100 feet. But the pop-up is essentially hidden from most views near the building. And essentially that's our presentation at this time.
Now I have a question for you, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with the deal? There was a deal, apparently, and what happened?
I don't know exactly what happened, but they had a preliminary life safety review during the design review process, and the flag was not raised about needing a second egress for the roof deck. It was only much later, well after the decision was rendered during permitting, that I'm guessing, but I assume it was a new person. Mm-hmm. There was a new body doing the life safety review, and they said, "Oh, but you do need the stairs, so
here we
are. It's bad. We had to come back."
Okay.
We extensively worked with the city, and we next door at the Janie, we actually were able to get the appeal. And this time they said no.
To be fair, I think it was a consistency problem on the perspective of life safety, that they were giving different answers to different people, and so they wanted to be consistent. And in this case, to be consistent was you need a second stair. They're trying to be fair, treat everybody the same.
Except for the exact same applicant on the last building.
Right. Okay. Except for the precedent they set.
Right, exactly. Right. Fantastic. Okay. Are there any questions of the opponent of the appeal?
I just was curious about, I mean, I drove by here specifically after looking at the type 2, and there are a lot of buildings within a block, kind of radius, particularly to the historic district, where, I mean, it's pretty just transparent and obvious that these things come up. And, you know, they're actually in plane with the exterior wall, and they are appendages to and extensions of a wall and the roof. Did you look at just kind of extending the plane on the on that east elevation? And
We looked at it, and it essentially, if we had to do this, it would have been a very large box extrusion. So the continuity of that,
so 20 by spine, 20 by 10 or something,
would have
like
had
that, right?
To be really tall. And
and what?
It would have been really tall. So essentially, the spine, the sort of, you know, brick spine that would have continued up by another 14 feet.
Is that that's the distance
from the top?
And why does it have to go 14 feet above the roof, the existing roof?
Well, because so if we extruded this whole thing, then we have to have a roof and the parapet.
Sure.
With this small pop up, as we're calling it, then this is a. Oh, thank you, Tad.
Well, if you go to your section, let's just look at that. That in large section. So what's the height of that roof right there?
Right now it's 8 feet. About 9 feet.
Okay. So why would it be any taller than that? You're at the roof level.
This is a very small area. We don't need to drain it. The water can just shed towards the roof. When you start having a bigger area, then we need to start getting drainage on it. Then we would have had, we have green roof everywhere.
Right.
So we would have, you know, potentially looked at the idea of putting green roof there. And frankly, there's also the idea of cost here that plays a big part in this whole situation, especially at this point.
But I'm just looking at height right now. And
sure.
Why would it be any higher than the 8 feet, 2.5 inches you have now at the high point?
It could potentially be.
Okay.
That. Yeah.
All right. So that's not very tall.
That's not very tall.
Okay.
No.
And it would be actually more compact in the sense that it's a rectangle versus an L shape at that point, right?
Right, but again, it would affect the facade in a way that we
that you didn't like. You're right. Okay.
So
right.
The top of the parapet and then, you know, the skin of the building is above the floor, so it's less than 8 feet. It's about 5 feet projection.
Yeah, right. Yeah, above the actual parapet.
So can you, with the pointer I just gave you, could you slowly show us where the impacts are? In terms of if you extend that roof over.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, so we would have to extend this whole area here. So then again, here that's where we're affecting the facade right here.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Right. But how wide is your existing stair? Is it 8 feet inside? About?
It's a little less.
Yeah.
It's a little less. We're trying to be a little more generous than code minimum, which
sure.
would be 6 feet 8
sure.
inches.
And I'm not an architect, so why if you have to extend the facade for a visual reason? In other words, couldn't you square this off,
yeah.
square the piece off and just stop shy of the
facade? Sure. Yeah, I mean, so I think we're talking a couple of different
things. There are two things going on
here,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. So what you're asking is, yes, we can certainly take this mm-hmm. and square this off.
And how close can you get to the facade and still allow the drainage and all of that?
Well, we'd like to stay as far away as possible from the facade.
Because?
Which is this, to not impact the facade.
Visually.
Correct.
But the impact is, in other words, it would seem to me that a box is easier to look at than...
Well... So we're talking about this area right here. So this whole thing here would have to go up by at least 8 feet.
Not if you don't touch it, though. Is that right?
Well, you can no, the stairs are right there. So if we literally take the stairs and extrude the stairs.
I'm still not.
You've jogged over 4 feet.
Let's go back to the,
from your plan.
Let's go back to
section.
The,
anyway.
The image here.
So,
I think you're, all right. Well,
this one?
No, the next, though.
That would have worked.
There you go. So what I'm trying to understand.
Sure.
Can you not bring this roof line over and keep it, you know, 2 feet shy from the facade?
Or four, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, so again, I think if I understand this correctly, can we take this angle and lift it up?
Correct.
Sure, we could.
And just continue it over across.
But why would we need to continue it over? I guess that's what I'm trying to understand.
And it's not eliminate the angle.
Yeah. Well, sure, the angle gets eliminated. So this wall, we can take, again, this wall here can go
up. Let's get some clarity. I think what Kat's trying to say, and I agree, this roof comes to here.
Yeah,
this
right.
This wall, nothing happens.
It's over there.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
It stays pulled back.
I'm trying to understand why does this have
yeah,
to go up?
Yeah, it's not part of the issue.
Oh, no. It doesn't. Again, I think that's why I think the confusion lies is I thought we were talking about taking this entire box here, which is the original area of the and punching it up.
That's what I asked.
That's what you asked.
Yes, that was what I asked.
So I think I was trying to answer your question, but your question is different.
Right. I didn't understand what you asked.
Right.
Again, it's not complicated. It's not hard to take.
Just talking
again,
about
we thought we were doing something here that would be beneficial for the neighborhood, and it would be what people wanted to see. But certainly, this is not. We can certainly do that. Square this off. If this solves a problem here with the neighborhood association,
and you're okay with it, if it's they squared off, that's all that has
to happen. Just be quieter. It'll be a much quieter building.
You don't want it. We certainly don't want it to mess with the facade. The facade.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to get to. Yeah.
It would be the same dark standing seam metal.
Right. I think it could go on the side.
But I mean, it's literally just taking that angle and flattening it.
That's all we want.
I think that's
okay. I think we are. Okay. I think we just solved a problem.
Do we need a motion or something? Can we make a motion?
Well, I just need to make sure that we don't have any appellant rebuttal to what she just heard.
No, all we want is it squared off. Just lift that plane and we're happy.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
And I need to make sure that no one is here to testify, object strongly to what they've heard, or loudly in support of what they heard. No? Okay, great. Then do we need any open-ended discussion with the applicant at this point? Don't make me close and open the record, please.
I don't need any more clarification.
Okay. Everyone clear?
So let's stop talking.
Good. I'm going to close public testimony at this time. And going to, if there is no further discussion on behalf of the commission, I would like to call for a motion and a vote. I think the motion would be basically to support the appeal with the solution to just square off the angle at the top of the stair over.
Yeah, I motion to support the appeal and square off the roof as we've discussed.
Okay.
Yeah. Second.
Okay. Paige, can you call roll?
Jeff Simpson?
Aye.
David Bork?
Aye.
Pat Saverin?
Aye.
Wynn Millian?
Aye.
Thanks.
Yeah.